dearly beloved, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I feel like Ralph Edwards. You know who that was? This is your life. Reverend Alice, this is your ministry. Carolyn and I cooked this up so that you could have a surprise and sit there and listen. The text this morning is the prophecy of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. How many of you think you have beautiful feet? Who would be willing to come up and take off shoes and socks or stockings and show us your feet? Are they really pretty? Beautiful? No, most of us think the ugliest part of our body is our feet. But when we hear this text of the prophet Isaiah, when he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, we totally understand it's not aesthetics that we're talking about. It's talking about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing the message of good news to the people. Now, in Isaiah's day, in the days of the prophets, how did they go from one place to another to prophesy? They didn't hop in a car or a train or a plane, although in the Bible, cars are mentioned. In the book of Acts, we read that the disciples were together all in one accord. But in the days of the prophets, you walked. You walked from one place to another to bring God's message to the people, a message of hope, a message of good news, message of salvation. And that's what Isaiah was doing in this chapter. He was reassuring Israel that the days of their captivity are coming to an end. And it's rejoicing. God reigns, Isaiah says. God reigns. And Israel is restored once again. Fast forward to Jesus. How did Jesus go from place to place? He walked. He took his beautiful feet and he moved from one city, one town, one village to proclaim the good news of salvation, to proclaim that he indeed is the promised one of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. His beautiful feet took him to the Jordan River where he was baptized by John to begin his earthly ministry. And immediately his feet were driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days and for 40 nights. And he defeated the devil. How did he defeat the devil? With the power of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only shall you serve. He used God's word to defeat the devil. And then after those 40 days, he was on the move with his feet. He went everywhere. Judea, Galilee, Samaria, Tyre and Sidon. He was going with the good news. And along the way, sharing that good news, he healed people, he raised the dead, he helped the infirmed, and he fed the hungry. That's what Jesus did. He brought that message of peace and salvation to the people. And finally, his feet led him to Jerusalem. There he went into the temple and he overturned tables and cleansed the temple, saying, "You will not make my father's house a den of thieves." His feet went into the garden, or to the upper room first, where he celebrated the last Passover and then instituted the Lord's Supper. From there, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and in the garden, he felt the agony already beginning, the agony of all the sins of all the people of all times in his very soul. So much so, he began to sweat blood. And then his beautiful feet took him to the Sanhedrin in a mockery of a trial, where they spit on him, slapped him, beat him. And yet when asked, "Are you the Christ?" he said to Caiaphas, "You say that I am." And then to Pilate. Here Pilate had the opportunity to save Jesus. But he didn't. He succumbed to the pressure of the religious leaders. And then Jesus' beautiful feet took him up Calvary's mountain. And there he was nailed to the cross, where he suffered and died to overcome sin, death, and the power of the devil. That we would never have to suffer eternally for our sins. And then his beautiful feet on Easter morning rose from the dead, and he saw the women and greeted them, greeted Mary Magdalene. That night saw the disciples, went to on the road to Emmaus. And in those 40 days from resurrection to ascension, Jesus was on the move again. But this time, to his followers, to the ones who believed in him, so that their strength in their faith would be quickened even more. And then, 40 days later, his beautiful feet went to the Mount of Olives, where in front of all his believers, he ascended into heaven with these words, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So even when Jesus' beautiful feet ascended into heaven, his feet are still here with us as he walks with us side by side in our ministries. Now, St. Paul, as the church was growing, gave some words, but he used the text from Isaiah. Here's what he said in Romans 10. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.'" Throughout the centuries ever since, Jesus Christ has called people into an ordained ministry. I remember when he called me, 13 years old, lying on my bed, and I heard the voice of Jesus say, "I want you to be one of my ordained pastors." He called Alice to be one of his ordained pastors, one of the shepherds of his flock. Alice, 25 years ago, you made that commitment to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, to proclaim the good news, to proclaim peace, to bring good tidings, and to proclaim salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have done it well. My brother David and I, and Alice's sister Helen Lynn, we're kissing cousins. You know what that is? Double cousins, a lot of people say. Because our fathers were brothers and our mothers were sisters. And Alice and Helen Lynn were over at our house a lot. We played together, even though I'm a little bit older than they are. And our other two girl cousins, Betty Ann and Linda. One of the things we used to love to play was Queen for a Day. Remember Queen for a Day? I was Jack Bailey. And the girls would tell their sad story. And I would have to decide which one of them would be Queen for a Day. And when I chose the one, then I'd put our glider cover on them as where their robe and they would walk around. Well, Alice won one day, and I could hear her mother saying to my mother, "Helen, I just washed their hair, and he put that dirty glider cover on top of them. Is he ever going to grow up?" No, he isn't. And we had a lot of fun together. But then Alice got the call to go to the University of Pittsburgh. And there she graduated with a bachelor and a master's in education. And her beautiful feet brought her to Delaware, where Gina and I lived. And a wonderful man, Tom Shade, Tom and his wife Kathy are here, took a chance on Alice to be a special ed teacher. And I would say, Tom, it was a chance worth taking, correct?
Yes.
Alice, you brought the love of Christ to those children, those special needs children, showing them that all children should be loved, whether they're rocket scientists or whether they have disabilities that cause them problems. And that compassion, that love you showed them was Jesus Christ working in you and through you. You see, my favorite word in the whole English language is compassion, because compassion is Christ. They're synonymous. And when you are compassionate, you are showing Christ in you to others. But then, even as she was teaching, that call from Christ kept coming to her. And she had to make a decision. And so her beautiful feet took her to Waynesburg for an internship, and then to Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, where she graduated. And I went to Alice's graduation, and the speaker of the day was Dr. Fred Rogers. You probably know him better as Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. And he was in that pulpit for 1 hour. 1 hour preaching. But it was like 5 minutes. He was so captivating, so spirit-filled, so wonderful in his speaking. And he said something that I will never, ever forget. He said, "The words of the pastor that are God's words moving to the people, the words from the pulpit to the pew, that's holy. That's holy ground, because you are preaching Jesus Christ and Him only. You have done that. Your beautiful feet took you to Shadyside, where you met Carol, your dear, dear, dear friend, a mother figure for you. Took you to Creston, and then brought you back to Plain City. I like that when you were in Delaware, your beautiful feet found their way here to Plain City Presbyterian, where you had a wonderful mentor in Chuck Stenner. You were already prepared as you were an active member of Brentwood Presbyterian Church. And even before that, when your mother and father took your beautiful feet to Arlington Heights Presbyterian and you were baptized, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ. You were taken a very special inspiration by Jesus Christ. He wanted you. And for all these 25 years, you have preached the Word of God in purity and truth. You have shown love to the people of God and to others who are not the people of God. You have shared with people their tears and their laughter, their joys and their pain. If you were to go home today to Christ, I am sure he would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But let's not look at that. Let's hope you have another 25 years to minister. I want to tell the people of Plain City Presbyterian, you're very fortunate to have Alice as your minister. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, you're biased. You're her cousin. Yeah, I'm biased. I am her cousin. But I'm more biased for Jesus Christ. And Alice is doing what Jesus Christ wants her to do in her preaching and teaching. She loves you, members of Plain City. If you didn't know that, then you must have been in a fog all these years. She loves you with such a deep and overwhelming love. She only wants the best for you. I know churches where the pastor does nothing, but on Sunday morning preaches a sermon. Does nothing. Doesn't visit the sick. Doesn't help the infirm. Doesn't visit shut-ins. Says he'll do something and then doesn't. And the church that I'm talking about is slowly dying because the pastor just doesn't care. Can't say that about Alice. She cares. She cares so much. And she wants all of you to know Jesus Christ. And so on this special day, Alice, of your 25th anniversary of ordination, I know that you lift up Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen. And I know you will continue all the days of your life to serve the Lord as we sang. And so may the Lord Jesus bless you. May the Holy Spirit fill you so that you keep on doing the wonderful job you're doing. And that you will always be that faithful servant. We love you, Alice, and Christ loves you more. Happy anniversary, cousin.